Welcome to the Locker Room Show. We have been waiting. Well, hello, Mikey.
Hello, David. How are you?
How was your week?
Very good, very good.
Oh, man.
Started school today, man. It's rough.
Okay.
But we're here. We're going to make it.
Well, we have the most special show that we I've been doing this stuff for a long time out here. A couple of different stations and our own little thing. Tonight is going to be the neatest thing we have ever done. I'm looking at 12 of the, I'm looking at the history of the greatest rivalry in the United States. I got six guys that played at Pisgah from the 60s to the 2000s, and I got six guys that played for the Tuscola Mountaineers from the 60s to the 2000s. And when I say Pisgah and Tuscola, I also mean Canton and Waynesville. This is pretty darn special. So let me go down the list, because we're going to start and get this thing on the road. So we're going to – Mike, just anything we want to
– I'm learning. I thought it was, you know, the Pisgah Bears, but I'm learning it's the Bars. The Pisgah Bars or something. It's different. But it's a good group we
this
have in
gonna
here.
This is going to be special.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And we got some pictures we're going to put up on the Crompton Automart Facebook page in a little bit. But let me introduce everyone here. From Pisgah, from the 64 to 66, Mr. Larry Goodwin. Where are we at, Larry?
Right here.
There's Larry. We got Dickie King. Where's Dickie at? Dickie scares me. He's big, man. He's over there looking at me. He said, I only lost like two ball games growing up or something like that. Dickie, 73 to 75. Mr. Hips, Lonnie Hips. Lonnie played from 64 to 65, and that would be called Canton, correct?
Yes.
Yes, sir. And he was very self-deprecating when he walked in. He was so cool. He's awesome. Another guy that scares me, Frank Leatherwood, 93 to 95, and he looks like he could play right now. As a matter of fact, he's got that look on his face like, let's get this on, big boy. It's, thank you for coming.
Yes, sir.
Somebody that's very dear to my heart that I loved watching play, except for one night he scared me to death, from the quarterback from 04 to 06, Mr. Zach James. Zach, you can move up and say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Zach's
right. He did good.
He did well, Zach. Well done.
He's done for the night.
You don't have to talk to him.
And I'm going to – the guy who I've always looked up to, I revered him. When he was older than me by 4 years. But when you thought high school football when I was a young man – one name always came first, and I'm glad that he's here tonight. He has helped me through this thing, Mr. David Singleton. Good to have you here, Dave.
Good to be here.
And you were pretty darn good. You were all that in a bag of chips.
Had a lot of help
from Tuscola, and from Wayne. Now make sure I say it right, because please correct me. I want to make sure I'm correct. Is it Waynesville or Waynesville Township, Mr.
Waynesville Township High School.
Mr. Quarterback of Waynesville Township from 63 to 65. And when we moved out here in 03, you and your family have just been so good to me and mine. And thank you for coming, Steve. Tim Reinhart. Where is Tim at?
I'm here.
There's Tim. Tim played from 71 to 73. Are you part of that Reinhart crew the guy that coached the termites at Irwin
with some Reinharts? Yeah.
Well,
that
I shouldn't have asked me.
He come out for
me. Yeah. What's his name?
Rick.
There it is.
Rick Reinhart. So, man, I got to watch you now, too. 66 to 69. Everybody knows who this is. Daddy Doug McCracken.
Hello.
What are you doing, Dougie?
I'm hanging in now.
There you go.
Back in shape here.
Mr. Bobby Rogers. It's an honor, sir. Mr. Bobby Rogers, Tuscola High School, 80 to 82. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
And Mr. Branson Reese, 91 to 93. He, like David on the Pisgah side, Branson did yeoman's work to help us get this thing pulled off. And what's happening, Ric Flair Jr.?
Not much. Go Tuscola.
There you go.
Come on. Yeah. And from 03 to 04, pretty good country ball player, the quarterback, Jonathan Crumpton. Nice to have you, son.
Thank you.
And, again, what a group. Folks, this is pretty amazing. Steve, start us off a little bit about near the end of the Waynesville-Canton thing, and tell me a little bit about the team you played on and what you guys did, and then Larry's going to fill me in on the Canton side.
I'd just like to say that it was a privilege to play in Haywood County, just like David Crompton said. It is unique. The rivalry game is very unique, something I never forgot about any time. And I remember one in particular, fall of 1965. Boyd Allen was still the coach at Canton at that time, and Bill Milner was the coach at Waynesville. And didn't really matter who won that game. You know, there were some good football players on the field, and as it worked out that night, Waynesville was successful in winning. But the thing that I remember more than anything else, and Boyd Allen was a legendary coach, and I think still is one, so is Bill Milner. But at the end of that ball game, a brawl broke out, and I think Larry probably remembers it.
Remember that well.
And it was kind of a nasty thing. The stands emptied out, and it kind of ruined the whole thing. It didn't really matter who won. I don't think it would have ruined it if it had happened in Canton. But the real class act that I saw that night, and I never forgot it, it taught me a lot about life. At the end of the ball game, Boyd Allen came to our locker room, and he had his hat on. He took his hat off, and he said, "I want to tell you, boys, you beat us fair and square. You shut us out." That didn't happen much back in those days. It just rarely happened. That year, we had to play Canton twice. We had to play Brevard twice. We had a split conference championship between Canton and Waynesville. Because we beat Canton first, and because Canton beat Brevard, we got to go to the state playoffs. We lost in the first round, but we wouldn't have gotten to go. That was how competitive it was. It was very, very competitive. And imagine playing Brevard, if Brevard were still in their conference, imagine playing Brevard or Canton or Pisgah or whatever team like that twice. It's hard to beat a team twice. But I never forgot that about Boyd Allen, and that was the epitome of sportsmanship in my mind.
It's amazing. And again, if you're listening to us for the first time, and I know we got internet listeners now, I think we got folks all over the country listening to us tonight. I don't think you understand. If you go basketball, Duke, UNC, or you go football, Tennessee, Alabama, or Notre Dame, USC, that's what this is. That's what this rivalry is. And again, make sure I'm good here. Mr. Hips, Lonnie Hips, I'm sorry. Kind of fill us in on because you were there that night, correct?
Okay. Yes, and I maybe the year before, I don't know if you guys from Waynesville remembers. Wade Reese was one of the most awesome ball players in the country. And Red Ivester was the same at Canton. And they talked for a solid year. They couldn't stand each other. Became great friends, but what happened in the ball game about a quarter and maybe half, they got into it, and they both got kicked out of the ball game.
There's a theme
and then they
here.
Became great friends. One thing about Waynesville, Tuscola, Pisgah, we had the coaches. You better hope that you are in condition before the season ever started, because only God knows what would happen, because Boyd Allen was one of the toughest coaches that's ever been, I think. And Coach Miller, he was a super guy. Great, great times.
Well, fellas, let me interject here. I know the statute of limitations is probably up, but when the melee broke out, did you guys were you helping pull people away, or did you get your shots in down there?
I didn't, because I didn't weigh about 140 pounds.
Did you get your shots in?
Smart.
The moonwalk.
Did you get one?
Very smart.
This is Steve Davis. He's a quarterback, so he might be a little
he
bit.
He might hit somebody in the back of the head and ran.
I grabbed a guy named Reed Brown, who is Gavin Brown's younger brother, and poor Reed had, in his stupidity, had taken his helmet off. I helped him get it back on, and it was a melee. I mean, it was unbelievable. I don't think, I know they had some before that, but there were 6,000 or 7,000 people easily at those games. The stands emptied out. We didn't have any way to contain them. You just stepped over a little wire and walked onto the field.
I know what happens. Did the mamas and daddies come to get their sons and try to help out or pull them away? Or
they called in reinforcements and cleared the field.
There you go.
It was something else.
One thing I'd like to interject.
And make sure
here.
You tell everybody who you are when you speak here. Okay?
This is a very good one. And I played on that team, but I was also Pisgah's first football team.
Yeah.
But I was also on that team, and the one thing that stuck out in my mind, the fight, and it was large. I mean, it was everybody. But two people, I will not name their name on radio, but I still remember two people when it all gotten taken care of and everybody got calmed down. There were two people who grabbed the game ball and jumped that fence and took off with it. I do remember seeing that. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. And I know what you're going to ask.
No.
I know Mike.
I wasn't paying attention.
Who won the fight?
Who
is what he's going to ask.
Who won the fight?
Know.
Yeah, but I guess Waynesville won the game, correct?
Waynesville won the game. Pisgah beat us the second time we played him over here. And I want to mention one other player who I think is dead now. He's a friend of mine. Actually, I lost my driver's license taking him home in the preseason. Richard Millsaps, who did not pass away, one of the best athletes ever come through here.
I mean, this guy was so disliked, they took your license for
driving
him home?
He and I were friends. No, we were friends, him home and got a speeding ticket coming back. And back at that time, the judge took your license and put them in the safe at the courthouse. And so I lost my license for 4 months. I called him that night, and I said, thanks, buddy.
I have a hard time driving 20 through Canton. I don't know what's up with that, man.
And then he added insult to injury. He picked me off and ran one back in that second game. So.
You never forget those things.
No,
do you
don't ever forget it.
But he was a great athlete.
There were a lot of good athletes on that field. I'll have to say this: Pisgah, Tuscola, Waynesville, Canton. There have been so many athletes come through here that probably never got a shot at playing anywhere. And thank God, in later years, it changed. But I can name hundreds of them. I'm sure you could too, Larry. Mm-hmm. We remember them, and I'm glad that they do more for them now to get them a place to play.
Well, man, over the years, has the game changed much as far as the fans? And because you're coming from like the 60s, and now has it?
Well, in 1964, actually, my junior year, our team won the only state championship ever won at Waynesville High School. And I know what everybody from Pisgah's thinking or Canton. We've got three or four of them. I think there's about four. I know David Singleton's got
Look
it.
Look at David just sitting there smiling.
So
Look at David
I know
smiling.
He's waiting for me, but I will say this. It didn't take Pisgah as long to recognize that those teams as it did when the 50th year after we won that, they finally gave us a little get-together at the old high school. It took 50 years for them to even recognize the only state championship we ever had in Waynesville. But times were different then.
Right,
football was everything, but it still wasn't like it is now. And I really do long for the day when, even though you fought hard on the field, you still had sportsmanship and you were friends with people. I mean, it would be unheard of now to have friendships maybe like we used to have. But it was a good thing and something that I'd like to see come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask a question to the group, and this will probably for the 70s guys here. When did you know that this was just different? This wasn't just a game. Was it something when you were a kid and you just, when did you know that Pisgah Tuscola was just a different animal?
Yes.
Tell everybody who you are before you speak.
It's David Singleton. I realized when I got to college and talking to guys there from all over the South that had played, and they didn't have 5, 6, 7, 8,000 people at a game. you know, they were just astounded that we would have that many people, and then run into people that we played in the playoffs, and them telling their tales about how it was in, you know, in Canton, you know, playing a playoff team there. And you know, and I guess it took a little while after getting out and away from it to look back at the Pisgah Tuscola game to realize how special it is, because I get, when we were playing, you know, it, you know, we just were expected, I think, to win back then. And you know, so I've appreciated a lot more in later years than I did, you know, when it was going on.
Big man, you got, I know you want to say something. He scares me. Don't. I'm a good guy. We're on the same team.
This is Dickie King. Yeah. I'm like David, you know. But I think we started when we were, gosh, in junior high. It was already, they were just, you know, you had to win. You know, it's just a, you didn't like nobody from Waynesville. You didn't like nobody from Tuscola. you know, they just wasn't allowed, you know. So, but then I got to know, I had a lot of friends, you know, at that time, you know, with, you know, and Pig Bryson. And
then can I stop you for one second? I never got to see him play. And I know that, you know, I know there's Tuscola guys in here. But was Pig everything I heard that he was?
He was fast. And another guy, I think, was Scotty Chambers. Is that right? They were dangerous. and Bill Schuhoffer for the quarterback. I mean, he was just phenomenal. I mean, they were those guys. They had a heart, and you had to beat it, you know. And of course, we tried our best to do that.
Well, McCracken, what do you got to say over there? We're talking about your era.
I tell you what.
Speak up.
I'll sit here and listen to that. And the thing I think most of all, I had an uncle that played on the Waynesville Township or Waynesville High School at that time. He played fullback, same position I played. And he told me one day about Canton, not Tuscola, not Pisgah, Canton. He said, "Son, you better watch." And I learned then to take notes of what was going on. And through the years, I won't say these Canton guys right here right now in Pisgah, they've treated me like I'm somebody. And I don't have a harm word to say about none of them.
And that's what it's all about.
All.
Because I, you know, from my, and I want you guys to speak up here, but like from my perspective, when we moved out here and I kind of learned what this was about, and people were telling me, you know, you need to stay away from the Janes people. I mean seriously, you know what I mean? Stay away from those Janes people, because, you know, he's a quarterback over there. I said, but, you know, he's a pretty good guy, and I like his dad, and his mom and my wife are really good friends. Well, that's not how this is supposed to be. But it's amazing to watch, like, in here tonight, that you still want to play. Mr. Leatherwood wants to play right now. But just once the ice was broke in here, and the camaraderie, and to know, again, I keep going back to the same thing. No, like David said, when he was playing at Carolina, this game was kind of better. Even than that stuff for a while, and I know that you've said some things about it, and you know, speak up, guys. Come on, we're going to have a conversation. Just talk.
I think growing up,
and tell everybody who you are.
Bobby Rogers.
Okay,
in
get your microphone.
I remember growing up, and these guys had just come before us. You know, if you were from Canton, you had a number 23 jersey, and you wanted to be David Singleton. And if you were from Tuscola, you had a 21 jersey and you wanted to be Pig Bryson. So as we grew up, we watched all of this happen, and we seen Pisgah win state championships, and it galled us just a little bit. And we had a legacy to try to build.
Yeah.
By the time we got to the 1980s, everybody was involved in football. Everybody seen what each other was capable of. And now, after the consolidation of the high schools, and you had Tuscola and Pisgah, man, all the surrounding Crabtree, Iron Duff, and Fines Creek, and all these were pulling for Tuscola, and you were wearing that big T, representing all the little children that were lined up around the fence wanting to catch football. And I'm sure the same thing was from Beaver Dam to Crusoe. You guys were representing with a P, and it was these guys built such a legacy of great football. And then in the consolidation, you know, you have David and Pig and Denny and some of these guys. And then in the 80s, we had to follow up behind that because we had not only the little kids and all the little elementary schools looking at us, but our daddies worked with their daddies, and there was rivalry at Daco and Champion.
Because tonight, I would assume that we've got a lot of our friends in the mill tonight that are listening to us. And there's some over there going, I got my six guys from Tuscola. They're in there. They're representing us. And there's somebody's over here going, well, my guys from Pisgah, they're in there. And it does make what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and you feel like you're representing not only your school, but you're representing your end of the county and your parents and everybody else that's looking at you. But you're also defending a legacy. You know, we're trying, in the 1980s, we're trying to finally win some ball games. You know, Pisgah had beat her socks off a few times and had won state championships, and we didn't have one to hold up. So it created quite a stir. And I think that's the one thing that I'd love to see back in the county now is, you know, that sense of pride. Rivalry.
Absolutely.
It's a healthy thing. Competition's a great thing.
Yep. See, I was about to say, Jonathan Crompton, 03 to 04. I remember we played my first year here, we played at home. And my coach was Travis Nolan. I've got to play for a lot of coaches. I've never seen a coach that was so time oriented. By God, if it was 5:47, he wanted you to be there right then. And we always showed up, let's say, if it's 7:30 kickoff, about right at 6 o'clock. We had to bus over. He had it timed out perfect. Mr. Golden had us a police escort, and you know I'm feeling pretty cool about it. There were so many people in the parking lot, we couldn't get the bus into the stadium. And if anybody knows Travis Nolan, he was freaking out.
And Travis
we couldn't
was a
get
former quarterback for
Pisgah.
Pisgah.
So to me, that was really cool because you're sitting on the bus, you're trying to get into the moment, and there's so many people there that have been there since 4 o'clock, and the stadium's jam packed, and your team bus can't even get in. The opposing team has beat the home team there. It was really cool because growing up in Asheville and going to Irwin, there's the Inca Irwin rivalry and all this stuff, and everybody would say, hey, you know, Tuscola Pisgah. And I wasn't out here at the time. I was like, well, it seems like a big game. I mean, every time you see it on TV, it seems like there's a lot of people. And it was so cool because we played in like 20,000 people. That's unheard of. I don't care what anybody says. That's more than most college games. And for our bus not to be able to get in, that's when it really hit me that this is something bigger than just football. This means everything to everybody out here. But what's so neat is after the game, no matter who wins, who loses, yeah, you're mad or you're happy, doesn't matter, you still go hug the guys across the field. Because like everybody's saying, everybody's dad works with everybody else's fathers, and you know their moms work together. You're eventually going to grow up, have kids, and live in the community. So it's more than just a game, which is so cool. But I've been fortunate to play at a lot of places. I've never, at the college or professional level, played in front of a stadium that was as cool as the two games I played. Especially playing at Pisgah because the locker room, there's no lockers. It's cool. It's cool. There's no bench. I mean, it's just a stone wall. And that was so cool because our game, and Coach Nolan used to say, hey, listen, he called it STM, short-term memory. Always forget it. He said, but I'm going to tell you, don't let the Janes kid make a play. And I was like, okay. I mean, how am I supposed to stop him from making a play, you know? And my senior year, we play at Pisgah. We take the back road over Stamey Cove to get here because we couldn't get through Clyde, which was actually – it was cool. It was just a unique situation because no high school or no rivalry does things like that. First four possessions, we turned the ball over. of the game, first four, and he's looking at me.
And three of them were.
And three of them were interceptions. It's just, yeah, I mean, it is, you know, is what it is. And he looked at me, he goes, I told you, don't let the Janes kid make a play. Well, I threw an interception. I don't know how that helped him. I don't know.
Did he intercept it?
You know, I don't know who did. I really don't, because I had to go back and watch the film to see that I really threw him. We'll just say that. But it's just a unique situation, because having to take back roads and take 30 minutes to go 8 miles. Those are the things that are so neat about this rivalry. And then just to, like everybody else said, everybody works with everybody in the community. So you want those bragging rights. That's what makes it fun.
Let me do this. Before Steve, hold on just a second, Steve Davis. I want to hear from two guys that haven't said anything yet. I want to hear from Mr. Leatherwood, and then I want to hear from Mr. Reinhart. Because and Zach, you hadn't said anything. You're going
to
speak up, too.
I was about to chime in right there.
Okay.
Frank Leatherwood, 93-94. First off, you know, I'm very fortunate and glad that I could be here tonight.
Thank you.
But I just want to thank each and every one of these guys in this room for, you know, paving the way for this rivalry. You know, not only is it Piscataquis, you know, it's a Haywood County. You know, and you're just talking about whenever you start talking, you know, and you first mentioned Piscataquis, you know, I got cold chills. Yeah, I get cold chills right now talking about it. You know, as Jonathan said, you know, I was fortunate enough to play for Coach Nolan. He was my quarterback coach, and believe it or not, I used to be a quarterback for a little while. You know, like Jonathan said, you know, I was fortunate enough to play in a lot of places after high school and playing some big games. I mean, you go in, you know, Clemson, Death Valley, you know, it's just an unbelievable experience. But the Friday nights, to be able to play, you know, the Piscataquis game, you know, there's nothing like it. I don't care, you know, when I put that Dolphins helmet on, there's nothing like Friday night putting that P helmet on. You know, just to be a part of that rivalry. Like I said, it gives me cold chills right now just thinking about it. But, you know, just like I was thinking back, you know, on Thursdays we used to go get our hair cut over here at Superior Barbershop in town. And, you know, and that's the first thing Don and Ray would talk about. It's all they wanted to talk about was, you know, what's going to happen in the game. And the meal talk, you know, it's back and forth. I guess just that atmosphere and to be able to be a part of that, you know, is something special. You know, every time I go talk to kids and stuff, they always ask me, you know, they won't talk about college or the pros and this and that. And they always ask, you know, what's the most fun game? Or if you could play again, what would you do? And it always goes back to Friday nights. It always goes back to this game that's happening this Friday night. And I think, you know, till the day I die, you know, I'll have the same feeling. But it's just, you know, something special to be a part of.
That's awesome. I mean, that's talking from your heart.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. All right, Mr. Reinhart. We got you.
All right. Frank's saying about the feeling. If you don't get the feeling, why go? I mean, people at Dayton never played the game and the rivalry. Does not know how it feels to walk out on that field. When you're counting seven back from a fence and people everywhere. I mean, it's a great feeling. I was fortunate to be with the boys I was with.
Didn't you win a state championship? Kind of helped me through. I've never understood that. So help me understand.
Yeah, we went to the state in 70. That'd be 72.
Okay.
And it's a co-championship.
Okay.
That was like kissing your sister, if you've ever done that. Have you ever heard of a tie championship ball game? But we got it.
Yeah.
But it's good. The feeling's good. When you walk out on the field, the band's playing, everybody's hollering. We had great back with Pig there. But we went to state with Billy and David Finger. We always are. There's a lot of great boys with me. There's, you know, the whole lineman, all the linemen was, you know, we all tried to work together and do the best we could. Sometimes some one get mad, then the other get mad, but we made it. It's a long trip to the state. You got to be real lucky to get to the state. You got to have a lot of luck on your side when you start playing the state.
Well, Mr. Branson Reese, say, I need you to talk a little bit. And then what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Zach for a second. Then I want to start talking about your specific games that you guys played against the other team. So, Branson, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I can say that it was bred into me, you know, at a young age. You know, I was born in 75. I didn't get to watch, you know, a lot of you guys play.
You missed something.
Yeah.
You just don't understand.
But I can show you the picture. My kindergarten picture's in a Tuscola Mountaineers, you know, shirt. So, I mean, it was – and the cool thing is my dad got to play with Steve, you know, and so it's one of those deals when you grow up. And like they said, like Bobby said, you know, you played like those guys in the yard. Because I can tell you, those growing up, Joe Montana was the quarterback, you know, in the NFL. But I can tell you, those many times I'd drop back and say, I'm throwing a Butch Ray pass, or, you know, or I'm throwing a Rafe Davis pass or something, you know. Because that's what you know, to me, when I was growing up, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tuscola was on the same level. I wanted to play. I couldn't wait to play for Tuscola. And so, you know, I didn't start playing until I was in seventh grade, and the odd part about it is Bobby was my first coach when I started playing, and we still laugh and kid about it today. And, you know, we had an accident at practice, and I'll never forget it up there at the middle school looking, and before the way it's built now, there was a split between the gym and the old office. And we just happened to look, and Bobby was in a dead sprint around that building. He come running down the hill. There's Brown Avenue. He never slowed down looking for cars. He just run straight across it, across the parking lot, over the railroad tracks, and started screaming at us. And we didn't know what was going on. And next thing I know, 125 up-downs later, we knew what was going on. So, you know, that was my experience of getting broken into football. And I'm like, man, you know, this is a little crazy, but it's one of those character building deals, you know. And yeah. But I appreciate to this day, and he and I kid around about it. I tell him every time I hear a whistle, I feel like I ought to have my legs running and jumping and hitting, you know, falling, hitting the ground. But you know, it is a great experience to play in this rivalry series, dating back as many years as it is, and you know, and for years to come, you know, these kids that are playing now, they're paving the way for, you know, the kids 10 or 15 years down the road. And, you know, and people always say, well, what happens if they combine the high school? Well, personally, it'll be hard for me to go to another school. And I'm just being, I hope I'm dead and gone when that happens.
You want to talk now, or you want to take a break real quick?
Whatever you'd like me to do.
Go ahead.
Talk.
Because this is Zach Jenks, and folks, if you didn't see him play, you missed something special.
I appreciate that. My first game was actually against Jonathan, and he's talking about the trip earlier, the trip over to the stadium. Well, when we got down to the stadium at 5:30, you know, there wasn't a seat to be had in the whole place. Along with that, there's Tennessee flags flying from where you'd committed. Then there's cutouts of Jonathan and Coach Nolan on the sideline. So we were all out there tossing the ball, warming up, and I'm, as a sophomore, coming into this game, they're moving in bleachers for, you know, expecting a huge crowd. And I remember walking in thinking to myself, how is he handling this? I mean, is he paying this any attention? I mean, you've got to see it. It's right in front of you. You're out there warming up, and so looking up to him at that point, and I mean, I was glad that he threw three interceptions in the was it first quarter or
first quarter? Well, no, the interceptions were my senior year, junior, and it was the first three drives.
First three
drives. Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember Coach Stone's speech.
And that was my first game, your senior year.
Yeah. You were a sophomore.
Right. And so I was feeling good about it. But just the getting looking up into those stands, both sides, just seeing your family and just knowing all the relationships across both sides and how deep the rivalry runs. It just, I think, like David said earlier, I think I have a much deeper appreciation for it after the fact. You know, in the moment, trying to make plays, all the hype in the paper, you know, building all this rivalry up, you know, your job's to go out there and win the football game. yeah, you want to enjoy the moment, but looking after the fact and having those conversations with, you know, players that don't get to experience this, you want them to, but there's nothing like it.
No, there's not. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll be back in how long, Tim? Just quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute, and we're gonna start. I want to talk about specific games that you guys played in, and maybe tell me, you know, what your records were when you played in the rivalry. Quit smiling, David. David's already Look at him. We'll be back on the Locker Room Show right after this.
Need a new ride, but you're short on credit? You need to see Crompton's Auto Mart in Waynesville. Crompton's offers guaranteed bank credit approval, regardless of your credit history. Guaranteed. Crompton's will treat you like family. They're dedicated to the service and needs of our community. They also offer complete vehicle service and repairs. Crompton's Auto Mart, 1256 Delwood Road in Waynesville. Call David at 828-456-2251. Or stop in and meet the team at Crompton's Auto Mart.
Do away with the same old, same old. Give an elegant gift or keepsake from CNC Creative Enterprises. Your creation begins with a wine bottle and 20 LED lights. Next, you select an etched design themed for birthday, wedding, anniversary, or your custom message. Here's a beautiful and personalized gift that will be cherished for always. To find out more, email gwsmith91445@outlook.com or call 828-276-5311 for CNC Creative Enterprises.
AM 920 is WPTL Canton.
We're back, Mikey.
Yeah, David, I just listen to these guys. You know, I'm not from around here, from Washington, D.C., and we had some good football teams. And big rivalries, DeMatha Catholic and John Carroll. They're pretty big games. We have some pretty good players, but my first impression down here is we had a practice field, but we always played games. Most games in D.C. are played somewhere else at someone else's school. And I remember the first Tuscola Pisgah game I had, and just listening to you guys talk
as a referee
coming out here, you know, getting here an hour and 15 minutes, hour 20 minutes before the game, and it's packed. And more people than we ever had at any one of our games there, an hour and 15, 20 minutes. So you knew something was special. And I've talked on the show a couple of times that people in Haywood County are fortunate that you have this game. This is great, and this is fantastic. And I'm glad you guys are here. This is great listening to you.
Let me ask this. You guys, you can look around the room. You guys were ballers. But like John was talking about and Zach was talking about, And for you guys that played in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, when you walked out on the field to warm up, just to warm up, did you look around and go, oh, my God, look, this is really – and I know as a kid you're not going, well, this, you know, I'll remember this the rest of my life, but did you look around and take a second and go, wow? David?
Yeah, I guess the first time I played against Tuscola was my sophomore year, and – that year we started out 0-2. We'd lost to Asheville and then to Freedom. And then that week during practice, I was running scout team, but we were running the box because that's what Tuscola was running at the time. And after the one day of practice, it was Coach Pearson. He came in and apparently told the other coaches that we were going to start running the box. So from Tuesday through Thursday, we put in the new offense, and you know, and then that was Pig Bryson's senior year. Beat us that game, like I think it was 10-7. Then in the playoffs, we got to play them twice. We tied 13-13, and we beat them on yardage.
Charles Allison sent me a newspaper clipping of that. I never knew that. Until this morning, at about 5:30 this morning, mm-hmm. I never knew that they declared a winner from that because of the yardage.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but back to my question: when you walked on the field to warm up, who just Frank?
Yeah. You know, when you come out of the, you know, we used to come out to the end zone and come onto the field. We didn't do like I do now. Come out of the tunnel. But, you know, when you come out in that end zone and just look around and see all the people, You know, like I say, standing 4 and 5 deep at the fence, you know, it's a totally different atmosphere. Like I said a minute ago, the only other time that I've had that awe factor, you know, was probably when we went to Death Valley and played at Clemson my senior year of college. You know, with all the orange there, there weren't many App State fans at that game, I can promise you that. But, you know, just to walk out on that field, and you know, I think we had probably 8,000 people there, you know, whenever I was in high school. But just the atmosphere, that, you know, the whole game is just, you know, exciting. Like I said, it makes me want to suit up again and go do it one more time.
You look like you're ready, I swear.
I'm on his side.
I want you and Branson to wrestle. I want y'all to wrestle a little bit.
No, but you need to – but Frank was a Mountaineer. You know, it might have been App State, but he was a Mountaineer.
You know, whenever I signed with App, it was about 2 weeks later I ran into Doug Brooks. First thing he said, "Hey, Frank, you know, I knew you always wanted to be a Mountaineer." I said, "Yeah, but this one's with an A and not a T."
So, tell me about your Lonnie, tell me about your games against Canton.
I remember playing Brevard at the time. I think 64, Tuscola, Brevard, and Pisgah was in the same conference. So, and I caught a pass, and I didn't weigh about 140 pounds, and I got tackled hard and dropped that ball. And you did not want to drop a ball under Boyd Allen, because you carried your books from Monday to Friday. You carried a football in one arm and your school books in the other arm. And all, you wanted to make a good impression with the girls, but they wouldn't look at you carrying that football. And something else, especially between Tuscola and Pisgah, Waynesville and Canton.
Sure.
Man, before I started playing football, I saw money being gambled, betting. Well, I'll bet you $500 they'll miss their block of punt and stuff. And I won't mention the names, but this two guys from Waynesville and two in Canton, it was nothing to bet $500 or $1,000 on a football game. And that happened every time Pisgah and Tuscola or Waynesville and Canton played.
Yeah, this is Larry Goodwin, first football team at Pisgah High School, and we're very similar to Tim in that we were co-champions with the East, and we were just like you. We wanted to play. We wish there had been another game. But, yeah, I like what Bobby said. Once it became Pisgah-Tuscola, not to take anything away from Waynesville-Canton, that was a big rivalry, but when you started including all these other communities and these other high schools, then it became really big. And the rivalry, I think, exploded. You wanted us to talk about our particular game,
absolutely.
The Tuscola, first Pisgah-Tuscola game. I know it was very tight for a longest period of time. The one thing I remember specifically is we scored a touchdown to go ahead, and this is typical Boyd Allen. We scored and kicked off, and at the team huddle, as we kicked off, Boyd says, "Boys, this is going to be an onside kick right here." Well, we did it. We recovered it and scored again.
You remember that, Doug McCracken?
I remember.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember the score. It's like 26-12, 28-12. I can't remember. But that's what I remember of that ball game. But I really enjoyed playing against Dale Henry, Randy Taylor, who's passed away now. Those were fond memories of that particular game. And Doug, you were in the line, fullback in the line.
I took Randy Taylor's position at fullback.
Yes.
And another thing I'd like to say, do you remember Jimmy Poston?
Played with Jimmy, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the hardest I've ever been hit in my life. I still have nightmares about it. That man was ungodly.
Yeah, he was a specimen in those days.
And so. he was a great person.
Who was it?
Jimmy Poston.
My uncle.
Your uncle.
Your uncle. 6'5", 275.
Played at South Carolina for Paul Dietz down there.
Player.
Mm. Good player.
Raiders.
So you got a snot bubble.
But then the thing of it is, we need to remember these guys that passed away too. Sure. Larry Holloway, Roger Aldridge, our first quarterback, he's dead and had diabetes and lost his legs and stuff, and Tommy Hall. I really cared a lot about Tom. And I just enjoyed playing with him. And I'm proud to be a Mountaineer.
Well, is that special? I mean, again, if you were in, I wish you guys could be in this room with us. I wish we had enough room for people just to be here. I don't know if I'm smart enough to have the vocabulary to let folks know the passion. And just look at these guys. I mean, they might have played 40 years ago, but I think it means something to them. I mean, I think it still means something to you, Mr. Reinhart.
Oh, yeah. Sure does. Means everything.
So I'm assuming everyone will attend the game Friday night, correct? Oh, yeah. Everyone will be there.
Dickie, you coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're actually having a...
Yeah, go ahead.
We're actually having a get-together before the ball game.
And we being?
The 75-76 state championship team. All the guys that played, so we're... having a little get together before the ball game. David, he can
fill in the details, Dave.
Yeah, Barry Cogburn there at the Black Bear Cafe, he's going to do up some food, and we're going to be in the lot closest to the armory. And anybody that wants to come by and say hey, just stop on in.
Well, y'all have to come see Mike and I. Let me tell you how big this game's gotten, and then we're going to get back to your specific games. From 5 o'clock till 6:30, they're putting Mike and myself and Chuck Fiebernetz is coming in, and they're putting us on a – and thank you, Ken Wilson Ford. They're putting us on this big, I don't know, trailer thing on the back of a truck. And we're going to have an hour and a half, and it's called the Clash Game Day at the Clash.
That's right.
And we're going to have an hour and a half of just like College Game Day before they could do on ESPN. So you guys are welcome. Bring your family. Come by, talk to us for a few minutes. Bring us some food. Mike, you know.
And the only thing we have to put on this trailer is this little white hat that has a T
Mike
on it.
Finally got, he's finally been begging got my everybody for a hat.
He begged, for a hat.
He begged Coach Chappell for a hat, and Coach Chappell said he was going to get his hat, but he hadn't got his hat yet. And
yeah, so, Coach Chappell, if you're listening, buddy.
Somebody opened the door here a little bit ago and threw the hat. It said Mike and threw the hat at him. So that's why he's got that hat. So. He needs a pea hat to go with
his pea hat put on that trailer.
What color do you want?
So, tell me about your experience, Branson, and the specific game, about the game, and what you remember about some of these guys playing.
Yeah. So, my...
And you can talk about the guys from with the pea on their hat, too.
Okay.
It's okay.
Now, my first game starting was my junior year against Pisgah. And we got beat 7-3, and I'll never forget, we had Leon Williams, which is probably one of the best backs I've seen. As far as running a straight line, he could get outrun by anybody, but his elusiveness was unreal. He could cut, and they always laughed at him when he was, in Little League, because he'd hold the football in one hand and his pants in the other, because he was so small and he could just run. But I'll never forget, it was a toss sweep from Slade Brooks, and Leon had the pile on for the touchdown to go up 10-7, and just slipped and fell, and we got beat 7-3. But then my senior year, we come down here, and I'd mentioned to you before too that a couple of guys mentioned riding the bus over. Jonathan was talking about riding that bus over, and
police escort.
We had a police escort coming down Tuscola Hill, making the right turn. And, and like I said, it's so quiet on that bus. There's, it's like in church. I mean, it's dead quiet. You've got 8 miles to sit and think about what you've got to do for those few minutes, in a game that go by faster than what you think. But then you pull in down here at Canton Middle School and you start coming off that bus and you look and they're lined up all across the top of the stadium, and they're yelling at certain players, and you just walk through that tunnel and you come out, and I mean, it's like, I never got to play on the college level, but that's as close as it was to me, and that was incredible. But my senior year, we got beat 24-20, and same running back Leon Williams. I think he fumbled five times all year, but he fumbled three times that night against Pisgah. And if I had one play to go back and do, I'll never forget. I had Leander Dumas on one side and Link Leatherwood on the other. And I remember hitting Jeremy Connor from Pisgah, and he let me go. And I thought, man, I just got by him real quick and real easy. And I started taking off running, and Nathan Messer, the basketball coach at Pisgah now, come running by me, and it was a screen pass, and I was like, man, if I had just stayed at home like Coach Effner said, I might have been got a pick six, but it just so happened that that was what I remember, and I wish I could have that play back. You know, like you mentioned before we went on the air, you know, would we go back? And that's the one series that I would love to have back.
You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you don't remember your better plays. You remember the plays you messed up, you fumbled, or you missed an assignment or something like that. It's funny you said it.
And, you know, we got to be good friends, myself and Chad Franklin and Ben Williams. We all got to be good friends with a lot of the guys from on the line for Pisgah. And, you know, the sad part is three of them have passed away now. And, we're lucky. My class, my senior class guys, we've not had anybody pass away. But you look at a rivalry and you see those guys that, you know, you went after it for 48 minutes, and it's you miss them. You know, to sit and talk to them.
Well, David and Dickie, I think you guys were from day one. You guys were successful, but. Talk about your experiences in against Tuscola.
This is Dickie. I can fill you in what it used to look like with David. Of course, you know, we lined up in a huddle, and we didn't do a circle. We were back, you know, in a line. And, of course, David, you know, he is a workhorse. And, of course, you were talking about the guy with y'all cutting and such a running back. He'd get on David. David get up through there, you know, he'd break out in the open, and they wouldn't be one man, and he wouldn't run around him, he'd just run over him. And so Chuck would always get, I was, you know, you can run one way or the other, but it didn't do any good. He'd just run over him anyway. And I can always remember, you know, when I'd turn around, he was behind me in the huddle, and I'd turn around a lot of times, and you could see nothing but white in his eyes. You couldn't even see him, and he's like a machine. And the next thing, when that snap, when we shifted into the box, I mean, he was on go again, and he'd come right back and
down set, ready set, let's go now. Is that
hut two, hut two?
And I remember that from, you know, when you guys beat the heck out of me. Well, I know when y'all beat the hell out of me, y'all were really good. Down set, ready set, let's go now. You know, and you played against. So you lost as a sophomore, David.
We lost the first game.
Oh, that's right.
Then in the playoffs, we tied and won by yardage. And then the next year, Dickie's senior year, we won over, I think we played. No, that was at Tuscola. We won that game. I can't remember a score.
Was it more fun, and this is to the whole group, was it more fun winning at home or winning on the other guys' field?
Other field.
It's just.
What did you say, Doug?
I said I'd just like to win.
That's what I was going to say. Just win it.
Just win.
Just win,
baby.
Yeah.
But so you guys won as a junior and a senior,
mm-hmm.
but you only played once those two times.
Right.
Okay. Why did you all play twice a year? Back
different then? Conferences.
So those were playoff games.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then. Back when you guys played, was it played on Thanksgiving? If I'm back in the,
you talking about the Tuscola game
or the Waynesville game? What
I think,
what the,
I think
the Thanksgiving?
Was.
The,
yeah,
the
played
I,
on
I think
Thanksgiving.
It was.
That was in the late 50s. They played two games a year, and the second game would be Thanksgiving Day.
When it
they
became.
Did that, they did that. In the 50s, I think maybe 61, 62, and after that.
So were all these games always played at night, or did you play Saturdays, Fridays during the day. All of them are night games.
All at night.
All at night games.
It's the, yeah.
And that second game was usually snow on the green.
So.
I've played right at it.
Did you?
I didn't get to play in the game, but I got to be there.
What's
what they call a B team over there, but you know, I came up.
Tell me about the pranks, the shenanigans that through the years.
Dickie,
he just laughs. He's just laughing.
Well, this Dickie again. You know, it was always somebody lost the outhouse, you know, back then, you know. We always had a bonfire, so somebody was going to wake up one morning and they didn't have an outhouse anymore at their house, so it got burnt.
Yeah, we could take credit for bringing part of the rural Haywood County into the 20th century to get indoor plumbing.
you guys are exactly right, because I was teaching and coaching at Pisgah when you guys were stealing these things, and I wound up on a jury duty with a guy who was suing the school system because he lost his outhouse.
Love it.
That's pretty good.
And then I think this happened maybe 64 or something. Waynesville came down and right in the middle of the 50-yard line, they burnt W. And I think the next year, that's when we brought an outhouse up to Waynesville. And in the early, there's a restaurant, Face Food Service in Canton. And before the ball games on Friday, on Thursday night, a lot of the football players from both schools, it's a wonder they played on Friday, they'd start a fight, and I mean they'd fight like crazy. And I was there, but I was 140 pounds, and I wasn't trying to back. But that's a fight.
Well, hey, look, we're going to do this. We got about 30 minutes left. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about what it means to you guys now. To not when you played, but like now. The tradition and what it means to you as it's grown into this life of its own. So we're going to be back on the Locker Room Show right after this.
Give an elegant gift or keepsake from CNC Creative Enterprises. Your creation begins with a wine bottle and 20 LED lights. Next, you select an etched design themed for birthday, wedding, anniversary, or your custom message. Here's a beautiful and personalized gift that will be cherished for always. To find out more, email gwsmith91445@outlook.com or call 828-276-5311 for CNC Creative Enterprises.
If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you need to see the folks at Crompton's Auto Mart in Waynesville. Crompton's offers guaranteed bank credit approval, regardless of your credit history. Crompton's believes in second chances, and they want to put you in the vehicle of your dreams. Go to CromptonAuto.com to fill out a credit application and take a look at their vehicle inventory. Or stop by and say hello to David and the team. Crompton's Auto Mart is located at 1256 Delwood Road in Waynesville. Call 828-456-2251.
Locker Room Show. Go ahead.
This doesn't have anything to do
with Tuscola. Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, you say whatever you want.
Okay, well, I will. Greatest high school game I ever saw was David Singleton, and I don't know if Dickie was playing then. Yep. Jimmy Strader and.
Yeah, God Silver rest his soul.
Yeah, Silver Webster.
And I'll tell you a story real quick. When you know, I knew he had lived in Canton. You know, in the rest home. We're talking about Jimmy Streeter. And Jonathan met him when he was in the fifth grade. He came to a basketball banquet. And somehow they just ended up, it was like a divine thing. They ended up at a table, this fifth grader and Jimmy, just talking through the whole banquet by themselves. And they became friends. And then, you know, the thing happened where John went to UT. And when Jimmy passed, they called our house and said, "You two have to come to the funeral." And when they buried him in his number 6 Tennessee jersey, sorry about that. That's
football.
But he was something.
He's special.
Yeah. And, if these football fields could talk, oh, my gosh. But I've heard all of you all say there's one thing that I've heard you guys talk about is your passion and now as the years have gone on and you look back and you said, you know, now that you appreciate it, Zach, that when you were playing, you're in the moment. What does it mean to Zach James in 2018?
Well, I moved to Columbia, South Carolina after college, and I really didn't make it back for many games, many Pisgah games at all. But there was one game I'd always go out of my way to come back for, and that was this game. And actually being up in the stands compared to being on the field and seeing what it means to everyone else that's been there and been on that field, it takes it to a whole different level, and it's given me that appreciation, and it just continues to grow. So,
Doug, what does it mean to you, bud?
Well, thing of it is, I know Zach's got some records and probably two or three more. He's got a bunch of records and everything. I don't have a college scholarship or nothing like that, but I played 110% every time I played. And when I got hurt at Inca, at Tuscola Field up there, they took me over to the hospital and they operated on my leg, and I wanted to come and watch Pisgah and Tuscola game in 1969. And one record I can honestly say that I set, I started the worst fight that has ever been on the stadium. They stopped the ball game for 26 minutes. And I tell you what, I'm not proud to say that I fought, but I'm proud to say I defended Tuscola's pride.
Jonathan, what does it mean to you? And some of you guys, you know, Doug was saying, and been, you know, he didn't play after that. You know, you and Zach, David, and Mr. Leatherwood. I'm gonna call you Mr. Leatherwood. You scare me, man. But you guys have done some things, but what does this mean to you? You've never really told me this.
Probably, I mean, and this is just because you know how I am. I'm very outgoing, but I don't talk about my deep feelings, I guess, unless somebody just makes me talk about it. It's just I've always been that way for some reason, but I've never really said the fact that, you know, going in, there's two moments I remember in my football career that I was awestruck. I'm not an awestruck person. I don't know why, but it's just, but the two moments, very first game running through the tee at Tennessee in 2005, and 2004 going through the tunnel at Pisgah. And like Zach was saying, you go out of, there's however many thousands of people there. Coach Nolan always made me and him warm up on the 45. I don't know his strategy behind it. I can assume, but he'll probably never tell me. And going out there on the 45 and just looking around and literally being 12, 13 rows deep. That moment is probably the moment I'll, for the rest of my life till the day I die, remember as that's probably the coolest moment I've ever had. I've been fortunate to play in NFL, CFL, college. You know, but this is, that one moment is the one that sticks with me the most because I can vividly remember the look on everybody's face.
The upside down Tennessee flags, I remember those.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I'd like to go over there to Canton and have a conversation with you people.
That's the cool part about it.
Yeah.
Is it's a respect factor in the sense of, they, in my opinion, they were doing that out of respect because it's a rivalry game. no matter who it was, they were going to treat them that way on both sides. That's what's so unique about it. But that one moment is the first pass I threw warming up, and then red right, 90 Fox, pro right, 145 Waggle, pro right, 112X go. Those are the three interceptions on the first three drives. Though that's what I it's one of those that I've never in any other game I've ever played in ever been just not overwhelmed but just not in the moment. And that game, it's funny because that was Zach said, how is he going to handle it? I knew that we were good. I knew we were coached well, but just it's one of the coolest feelings ever when you get to look around and you go, there's this many people for a high school game, and it means this much to them. Not just that their kids playing. Half 90% of the people there, their kids weren't even playing. Like, they weren't a part of the team. It's that much to the community. And that's what I think Haywood County is. It's a personal opinion. Haywood County football is some of the most tradition-based, hard-nosed. We don't care who's bigger, stronger, faster. We've got more heart than you football. And to me, that's what it's about.
Well said, son. I appreciate that. Lonnie Hips, what as the years have gone by, now, it's been a few years for you.
Yes, a lot of years. I think I've missed like five football games since maybe 1970 when I got out of the Army. And you just wanted to beat Tuscola. But something that I've always been to, after we played Tuscola, I rooted for Tuscola. If they seen the playoffs, I'd go with the guy from Waynesville. I'd go to every playoff and root for him. And a lot of people from Waynesville comes to Canton playoff games. In my years, that wouldn't have happened. But it's starting to happen. And I'm glad to see kind of root for each other since we're kind of in the same different conference, you know. I always want us to win. You know?
Go ahead, Bobby. Well, grab your microphone there.
I was thinking about what Jonathan was saying just a moment ago. You know, there's two really key ingredients to a rivalry. One's pride. You got to have pride in the school you represent. And two, there's got to be a certain amount of respect that you pay to that other group that's standing on the other sidelines. You know, I'm gonna stick two questions together. I remember.
You take as long as you want.
I'm a preacher. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
So this may take a while.
It's all right. That's okay, my friend.
I remember going through middle school. I played on a team that was undefeated and unscored on for three consecutive years. And then we come up and play Pisgah, and we beat them the first year in 1980. And then in 81, all of a sudden, we find ourselves behind 10-7 at halftime. Scott McAdams and those guys were rolling the ball. Danny Thomas, I believe, wasn't his name? Danny Thomas was one of the running backs at Pisgah. And all of a sudden, here we are behind, and it's like, whoa. This is the world's got turned upside down, and I think that we all realized we had a lot of talent on our team. You know, Butch Ray was our quarterback, and had Eric Rogers as a fullback, and Mark Wallace and Al Moore and Mike Gahagan, and there's just a lot of great athletes on that team. And I think we all come to the realization we're not playing hard. We shouldn't be in this place. We come back and won 27-10. But it carried on to the next year, and probably one of the greatest moments was, you know, we beat Pisgah 50-14. I think that's probably the worst we ever beat Pisgah was during that game, and it was at Memorial Field. And, you know, but that was the end. You know, I remember standing there at the end. We still had a season and playoffs and Division II to go win, but I remember standing out there on the field that day thinking, we're never going to do this again. And we're never going to have this competition like this. And we did. We went on and played East Rutherford, beat them 40-0, played another team, RS Central, and killed them, shut them out, went down and beat Lexington for that Division II championship. But there was nothing like what happened on C. Weatherbeer, Memorial Field, on those two nights. And it just, to me, it makes you a little bit who you are today. You know, that spirit of competitiveness that comes out because you respect the people that you're playing against. It's just an awesome feeling.
Do you feel that not being in the same conference diminishes the game at all? Or does it enhance it? You don't think that's going to really matter down the line? Have you always been in the same conference most of the time, majority of the time y'all been?
I think the bad thing about being in, you know, different conferences is they move the game so early in the year.
You got to move it up. Yeah.
I think the best, you know, example of playing later was 2 years ago when both teams were undefeated and came to Pisgah and played. It was probably one of the better games I've ever seen. You know, with a half and half of $40,000 and. But that's the bad thing about being separate conferences. They have to play it early.
Yeah. Or you could probably keep it late, but do the coaches want to do that going into the playoffs the very next week? Because it sounds like it's such an emotional game. So you are getting things into it. Yeah.
I just want to chime in 1 second and say something about Zach. I played for Coach Noel. I've known him since I was 10. I charted plays for him when I was in 7th, 8th grade. On the Friday nights, I've been around him a long time. We played against a lot of great guys. I've never in my life, except one time, ever hear him say, "Don't let one kid beat us," and that was against Zach.
It's a heck of a compliment,
that's,
if you know Travis Nolan.
Exactly, I was about to say, if you know Coach Nolan, and it's not just because it was Pisgah Tuscola, that's where the respect of the game comes in. We played Johnny White, Creston Butler against Asheville. They were in our conference. Creston's still playing. He never once, except that time, said, "Do not let this kid beat us." And I think that shows how much this game really is. When a coach, I've known him since I was 10. It's 21 years ago, and I've not once since heard him say that about a player.
Zach, did you ever make Coach Nolan mad or anything? Must have ticked him off a long time ago or something.
Dickie, speak up. Now's your time, baby. What does it mean to you?
Well, I got granddaughters now instead of guys, you know. And, of course, you know, the football over the years, I know it changed, you know, from what it was when we played ball. I mean, it was just we went into it that you could not lose. I mean, just you couldn't lose, and we played like that. So,
you guys had a great coach.
Yeah, and Danny Shook was a he was a great coach. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I think the rivalry over the years, I think, is weakened to what it was in the early years. I think it's, you know, I don't think it's as strong, and probably a good thing. It was pretty bad back then, it's just to be a part of it, and the guys, both teams. Like I say, I've had friends and stuff, and over the years, and you know, I worked at Daco for like 13 years, and right out of college, and then you know, those guys, when I walked in up there, that, you know, they had bet for Herman Survivor boots and everything else, and that they lost, and they reminded me when I got up there that they lost a boot because of me. So I was always asked to buy boots and that kind of thing. Mangy Caldwell was actually the man that wanted his boots back. So when we played Civil Webster, I caught the winning touchdown that David had thrown me, and they had left and went home, you know, early. They didn't have, you know, Silva had beat us. And when they got home, they hadn't beat us. He'd done had a bet with Bill Holbrook, and on a pair of Herman Survivor boots, so I was supposed to buy them boots back when he finally got to me.
So, and you guys have like traditions you do before the game all the time with family or something that you've been doing for years and years, or are you just sort of everybody just goes to the game?
Just I have to be alone in the bathroom for probably about 15 minutes just by myself. Even today, even every year. I get worked up.
You think?
He's got about butterflies.
What does it mean to you?
Well, it means a lot to me. Even still, I'm an old hat around here, but it does mean a lot. I think the rivalry is still keen, but I think what's happened is I coached at two different high schools. I coached at Pisgah and at AC Reynolds. One thing that has happened, I think, because of the tradition of Tuscola and Pisgah football being as hard-nosed and as tough and as good as it was for a very long time, I think some of the other schools, you know, they wanted a little piece of that. And I think what's happened is that some of the other schools in the area have tried to make them a rivalry of the two schools.
I understand what you're saying.
Not to take away from Tuscola and Pisgah. So it's, you know, Pisgah still wants to beat you guys, and you guys want to beat us. I mean, I can give you a personal example. When I was coaching basketball, I was offered a job at Tuscola, and I told the principal, he said, "Hey, you're a Hagley County boy, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you be interested in taking a basketball job?" And I said, "You ain't got enough money to pay me because I'm from Pisgah side." Even to this day, I love these guys to death, and I love the guys that we played against. Some of them, like I mentioned earlier, Randy and Dale Henry and were friends of mine even after we played. But it's still, my wife and I are not going to buy a boat that has yellow and black on it.
See, you're not going to wear those colors, are you?
That's funny because I was in a grocery store the other day, and I do private quarterback training, and I had a lady that I've known for a long time. She goes, "Hey, you better not be training back from Pisgah. You don't train them."
Exactly.
And I was like, well, I'm not. She goes, "Well, good. You better don't ever do that. You're not allowed."
I think that's what makes it so good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, forget the fights, forget all the things that go on, you know. I think that's what makes it really, really neat.
Well, let's listen to Mr. Leatherwood. Again, you have been awesome. Thank you.
You know, growing up here and, you know, being a part of the Haywood County thing, you know, I grew up 6-7 years old. You know, my dad had me on a football field, and you know, most people listening know who my dad is. So, you know, you mentioned Tom Hall, you know, great man, absolutely, great coach. You know, I grew up in the youth leagues. You know, Dad, Tom Hall, you know, Ralph Trull, Roger Carver, those guys were my coaches. And, you know, I think back in the youth leagues, you know, the rivalry started then. Because no matter if it's Pisgah, Tuscola, Waynesville, Canton, whatever it was, you always wanted to win that game. And no matter what the records were, you know, you could throw records out when it came to that game. You know, when I came through Pisgah, you know, we split with them. My junior year, we beat them. Senior year, we got beat at Pisgah. And, you know, like Jonathan said, that's one of the losses. You know, you always remember the bad things, of course, but that's one of the losses that's always stuck with me is back in 94 when we got beat by them. Hashim Dalton was quarterback, and, you know, he just lit us up that game. You know, when I was at Pisgah, we never had the greatest athletes, but we were probably one of the biggest teams that you had to face. And we had the heart. You know, if it was fourth and one, I can promise you we was going to get a first down somehow, some way. You know, I think my senior year after the Tuscola game, I think we started out season 1-3. And, you know, it's just a horrible season. Me and Coach Nolan going on a recruiting trip to Wake Forest that Saturday. And, you know, I told him, I said, "Man, I'm miserable." You know, I was playing quarterback. I said, "You know, we're losing. We got to change something." And it's halftime of the next game against T.C. Robertson, raining. We go in at halftime. He talks to Coach Reno. And, you know, we came back out in the wishbone and, you know, drove it down their throat. me, Brad Mashburn, Jeremy Cagle, Brent Thompson was on the backfield. And, you know, it just changed things right there. But, you know, to lose to Tuscola my senior year, you know, that was heartbreaking. That was something that stuck with me from all the losses we've had or all the wins we've had. That one loss sticks out in your mind. You know, now, unfortunately, I don't live in Haywood County anymore. But, you know, coming up now and you see all these guys that you graduated with and their kids are coming up through Pisgah or Tuscola. And to see them get excited and see their kids excited about this rivalry, you know, it's just – it's kind of numbing to me. Like I said, you know, it's put cold chills all over me tonight just thinking about it. But, you know, for these young kids growing up, for them to get to experience what we've all experienced, you know, it's something. And something that they have to look forward to for years to come. And something that they'll always look forward to. And, you know, when they're getting older like us, they'll be able to sit around and talk about that game. That one Friday night when it's Pisgah Tuscola, whether they win or lose, they'll always talk about it.
Yep. You mentioned Coach Renault. I almost took a job years ago, a long time ago, at Pisgah, and he came out to come out here to coach football. And I went home and told my wife, I think I have a job. I'm going to go to Pisgah, coach football. He says, when you have to show up? And I'd mentioned it. I was taking my family on vacation, and I was going to miss the very first day of football practice. I said, I cannot get out of it. And he said, well, you're missing the first day. I never went to Pisgah. He says, you can't come here and coach football. If you got to be an example if you're going to. I said, this is a serious place. They take this football a little, maybe too serious for everybody. He was a good man.
You know, he was a good man. Talk about Boyd Allen and all those coaches you know, back in the day. You know, I was fortunate enough to play for Carroll Wright and Coach Renault and Coach Nolan. You know, even, you know, at Tuscola, the coach y'all had, Coach Brooks and all those guys over there, you know, the kids in Haywood County are fortunate.
Oh.
Very fortunate that they get to play for a group of guys that know football and love football and have a passion for the game and want to teach these kids the right way to play it.
All right. We'll talk. Come on, Big Tim. What does it mean to
you? I'm sorry.
That's all right. What does it mean to you?
Oh, it.
Now, that you look back.
I look back, it means bruises. A lot of bruises. But it was a great, the one game that really stands out in my book when we beat them the first time. That really showed, you know, that they are beatable. And we beat them in the playoffs. And back the next senior year, we got beat. But they kind of stomped me to death my sophomore year. They had 35 points on us that year. And I felt like they run them every one over my back. Oh, that was a rough game. But I hope I give back. I hope they receive what they give me my senior. But it was, you learn, do first, then worry about the consequences later. If you get caught, you get caught. If you don't, you don't. You get caught more times saying, this guy done this to me, and just go ahead and do it. You know? Because he's the one that's going to get the flag. You ain't going to get it because you done it, and he's done. You know, he's going to want to hit you again.
Branson?
Well, that, you know, I appreciate the, you know, this rivalry more than, you know, anything. But you know, to me, the cool thing about pride and tradition at Tuscola, you know, if you go into C. Weatherby, there's three big signs up there, you know, and those signs represent tradition. But pride for me is getting to see 1992 on all three boards. But the thing that hurts about that is being the 0-2 against Pisgah. You know, I've got to live that the rest of my life. You know, and that to me is that stings more than anything, because trust me, at work they remind me of it every year. They hang it on my computer at work, and I have to go to that bathroom, and I have to take that 5 minutes, you know, where I'm gonna be in HR. You know, I can't afford that. You know, I have mouths to feed, I have shoes to buy, but the cool thing, you know, and Jonathan mentioned this right before we went on air too about who all's married somebody from the other side of the, you know, from Pisgah or you know, vice versa. And, you know, my wife graduated from Pisgah and graduated with Frank. And, you know, when we got married on October 10th, 1998, you know, one of our first conversations was, where are we going to sit? And she came up and she said, well, wherever it's at, we'll sit on that home side. And I sort of bit my lip.
You're like, sick every other year.
Well, so we, and the cool thing was, the we went on our honeymoon and come back the next week, and it was Tuscola Pisgah, and it was here at Memorial Stadium. And luckily, she had family that hollered at her and had saved a seat. So we sat on Memorial, we sat on Tuscola's side at Pisgah that year. So then the next year we were at Tuscola, so that was okay. But then the following year we sat on Pisgah's side, and I'm kind of like Doug. I could have fought my way out that night. But I told her when we got home, I said, you know, I love you more than life itself. I said, but I've got too much black and gold in my, coursing through my veins to sit on that side again. And I said, and I can't do it. And she said, and so people ask me now, and I'm like, listen, you can believe me or not. I said, I've got a Tuscola T tattooed on my arm. I said, that's what Tuscola means to me, that, you know, that I would ink myself up for Tuscola. But I love it. You know, I was raised on it. You know, my dad, like I said, my dad loved it. You know, he played against, you know, a couple of these guys and everything, and with Steve Davis, and it, I know what it meant to him, and because I could see, you know, you could see it in his eyes when he talked about the games and stuff. And goes, you know, like Lonnie was talking about too, you know, they would play once in a year, but then he had always talked about that game where they played on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, it wasn't no Dallas or Detroit playing football. It was Tuscola Pisgah playing on Thanksgiving Day. And that's, you know, and I want to carry it on. And see, my wife will wear Tuscola, but she says, I wear a Pisgah pin under it. And I'm like, oh, Lord, okay. But she will wear it. She wears, both my kids go to Tuscola, and she wears the Tuscola for them. But she says, do not think for one second that I'm wearing Tuscola for you. So
look at the bright side. You got
to
sit on that Pisgah side.
Well, I did want to throw up that night. I won't lie.
You got to see what it felt.
And I will tell everybody, from my perspective, we got one more person that I want to talk. And I always thought that he was just a great football player. And as the years have gone on, for David to come back to this community and give back to this community, give back to Canton, give back to Haywood County, as great as a football player as you were, and if I am not mistaken, you were a two-time state player of the year. If I'm not mistaken, I think I'm right. I'm still in awe of you, and I appreciate, yeah, because the things that I learned from watching people like you, from having, you know, was what I tried to pass on to my son, that you do things the right way. You might be talented, but you're going to go and you're going to outwork everybody there. And that was the greatest compliment that I ever got with the Pisgah Tuscola or anything. Was Travis Nolan called me, and he said, these guys out here, when John moved, he said, well, they thought they were getting a prima donna, and they didn't understand he was the first guy in every day and the last guy to leave every night. And I attribute a lot of that was the fact that you and me watching you and what you did and what your teams did, you guys were special. I mean, I'm a Tuscola guy, but during the radio, And what I do, I pull for both teams. And I you guys get mad at me, I hope it's 20-20 Friday night. Because I love both the coaches. I love the kids. But to me, you're the standard bearer of what I wanted him to be. So the floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, growing up in Canton and being able to play football and having success like our teams had, you know, that's just something that, I don't know, I guess when I had the opportunity to move back and start businesses of my own, I guess it really helped that I had played on some successful teams going up. And, you know, it's just a great community to be in. We have opened the business over in Waynesville now. So,
see, he saw the lot. But that's what Jonathan's over saying.
So you know, we're yeah. not maybe yeah. One sided as we once were. But, yeah. You know, it's just a great county to be a part of.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And it's you know.
So who's all right? Who's winning Friday?
Tough
call. His guy.
This, Branson, there's just this. He bleeds it. But so, anybody got any final words before we go? Because I want to tell you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And everybody at home, get out there early Friday. You see these guys. You see anybody that played in this rivalry. Take a minute, shake their hand, and tell them thank you. Because what happened Friday night is because of the men in this room and the hundreds and hundreds of guys that left their blood, sweat, and tears on these two football fields. This is the most special rivalry in the country. And show me one that's better. Show me one that's better.
If they're Friday night, come see us on the trailer. Yeah,
come see us on the trailer. Talk to us.
I have one more thing, if you don't mind. To everybody that's listening, mainly parents and fans, Friday night, go watch both teams compete their rear ends off. Support them, love them, hug on them. No matter the outcome, obviously each side wants their side to win. I'm wearing black and yellow golf clothes because I played golf today. That's what it means, but support both sides. As soon as the game's over, go shake the other team's hands and congratulate them for putting the effort in to play in this game. I mean, I understand that not everybody wants to do that, but it's sportsmanship that we have, and the respect we have for everybody in this room and everybody that's played the game before us and the guys that are going to be playing in the game. Everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to lose. Unfortunately, somebody has to lose. Support both sides. Like I said, go. If you're a parent, go hug your son, win or lose, after the game. If your team wins, go congratulate the losing side and tell them great job, because that's what it's about.
And we'll get you next year. We're going to let you end, Mike, because as an outsider, I want you to say what you see.
I'm just curious. You think, since this is such a big rival, since they're not in the same conference, they won't play overtime? Or will they always play overtime?
They'll play overtime.
I thought so.
So what do you think, Mikey?
I'm looking forward to it. It's the three times that I had, it's a great atmosphere. And
what about tonight? What do you think about tonight?
I think it was great. I think it's nice. There's not a lot of – I've been a few places, and there's not a lot of places that have a game like this where people can come back and share. So I think the people of Haywood County should be very appreciative of what they have and try not to lose that and keep it in perspective, as we all are Americans. You guys were battled each other and then coming back together to share your memories and that, and I think that's a special thing that can be an example to kids coming up.
Absolutely. Anybody got anything else they want to say? We'll stay here till midnight. I don't care. Anybody got anything you want to say? Thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart, from Mike's heart, and from Tim's heart. Come see Mike and I at the Clash game day from 5 to 6:30. Bring us some food, Mike. You know, we're working hard for you. Are you coming to the game, Frank?
Good.
You gonna sit with Jonathan?
I'm on his team.
You, Jonathan, y'all sit together. We'll see everybody Friday night. Look forward to it. Thank you, guys. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. God bless you. This was so special.
Be safe.
For the Locker Room Show, this is David, Mike, and Tim. I'll never forget tonight. Thank you.